I want you to open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 107. I've often wondered what I'd do if I walked in here one Sunday morning and didn't have anything on my heart to preach. We're fixing to find out. I have wrestled around, and I do different. Some people say, well, how do you come up with messages and all? Of course, if it's a real message, comes from the Lord. If it's a sermon, I do it, but the Lord has been always good to me. And sometime I do extensive studies, and God's put something in my heart. And in fact, I've got two or three things the Lord's been dealing with my heart about over a period of time, doing some study and research on that. But I don't want to go off half-baked. You know what I'm talking about? I don't want to until God's got it settled in my heart. And then sometimes God just gives me a message. Years ago, I went to the Billy Graham School of Evangelism, and Dr. Stephen Olford was there, brother. By the name, last name was Ockengay. I can't remember his first name, but several other famous preachers were there, and they helped the pastors about different things. One was, you know, how sermons are prepared. I remember, I can't remember which one of the pastors it was, but he talked about how great men of God in days gone by prepared their messages. And there were some who spent hours at a time in preparation. They'd go 8 hours without eating or anything to prepare. There's one famous preacher days gone by that they said he would just study and pray and seek God and do whatever God led him to through the week. And on Sunday morning, he'd go to the church early, and he had a couch there. Now, this is back in the 1800s, and he lay on that couch. And during that time, just before church, he would God lay something in his heart, and he'd do it always on the back of an old envelope. Somebody had mailed him an envelope, and he'd outline a message on that, and that's how he preached. And many of his sermons are published in books. And so I'm just telling you all that, just kind of preface what I'm saying, and messages come different ways. And so I'd been praying. I don't have a message other than I got one little phrase to give you this morning that's burning in my heart, and I don't know how it's going to ever turn out, but it's this little phrase: God has sure been good to me. God has sure been good to me. In just a minute, I'm going to ask Ms. Norma to share a testimony of what happened at the nursing home just before her mother, just a matter of a day or so before, went home to be with the Lord. It blessed me so. I've already told it a half a dozen times, and I want you to hear it firsthand. In fact, I was going to maybe even share a little bit of it this morning, but what a blessing. God, the Holy Ghost. And Brad, I want to thank you for minding the Lord this morning in the choir song and in the first song we sang, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. Just as soon as he started off and announced that song, I just felt like jumped up and say, yes, I knew that's God has sure been good to me. Count your blessings, name them one by one. And then last weekend we were going to be doing the truck a two-day revival at the truck stop, and it didn't work out. I thought I'd missed God 100 million miles, but anyhow, we had a tremendous service here on Saturday night, and Brother Donnie Pierce shared his testimony and some others. Great prayer time and singing. LaVon and them, I don't think they've ever had touch of God on them any more than they did the other Saturday night. The presence of God's so real. And then on last Sunday night, when Craig and them were here, and God used them so mightily, and it was just a wonderful, sweet service. And then, of course, the memorial service was at the same time last Sunday afternoon as we would have been up there at the truck stop. So God just, you know, God worked everything out. Things happen, but they don't just happen. You know what I'm talking about? And so it was just great. But God's been so good. Donnie was supposed to give his testimony last Sunday night, Brother Donnie Tippett. And it just didn't work out, and I forgot about it, to be honest with you. And God went right in God's timing. And I found out a lot of time when I mess up, kind of like Bobby Langdon. Brother Bobby don't never mess up. He just does things different sometimes. And amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 107. I'm going to read a few scriptures, and then we're going to have Ms. Norma to share with us a testimony right where she's sitting. And now I'm going to get Brother Don to come up here. And I want to read these scriptures. How many of you this morning could say, the Lord has sure been good to me? Say amen and raise your hand. Amen. Look at Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who hath been redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He gathereth them out of the land from the east and from the west and north and the south. They wandered in the wilderness and in solitary places. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right hand, that they might go into a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. The Lord has sure been good to me. I want you to look at another passage of scripture, actually two others. Turn over to Psalms 119 and verse number 67. Would you please? Notice, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in the law. It is good for me that I had been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Boy, the Lord has sure been good to me. Things happen in my life and your life that people look at that don't understand the grace of God or God's sovereign purpose, and they say bad things happened to good people. But you know, David said, it was good for me to be afflicted. You know, Joseph, the Bible says that he said his brethren meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God's sure been good to me. I remember standing over in the vestibule of the old building one morning, and as I walked in, there were a couple of guys standing there. Brother G.P. Benson standing there, and I've repeated this over and over again. But I said something about how good God was, and a friend there said, he's sure been good to me. He's blessed me, given me so many good things. And Brother G.P. said this, boy, what wisdom. He said, you know, if he hadn't never give us anything, he's still good, isn't he? And I said, absolutely. The Lord's been good to me. He's sure been good to me. Look in Psalm 145. Psalm 145 and in verse number 5. I will speak of the glorious honor of thy majesty and of thy wondrous works. And men shall speak of the might of thy terrible acts, and I will declare thy greatness. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness, and shall sing of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord has sure been good to me. Has it been good to you? Amen. Miss Norma, I want you to share that testimony, if you will. And Brother Donnie, if you want, I'll get you to come on up this way. I want you to come up here. I'm not going to give you the prerogative of staying down there. I want them to see you. And I was going to let Miss Norma testify right there. Brother Donnie, come on, sit with me up here right quick. God bless you, Miss Norma. I want you to share that sweet testimony, will you?
Truly is gracious, just as his word says, and he is faithful, and he just gives us gifts that we have no idea would ever be given to us. Mama wasn't doing well the last 3.5 weeks. It was to the point that I would just sit with her and hold her hand and sing to her, because she loved music, as you well know. She used to sit right back there in the back row in her little wheelchair and just sing in that gruff old voice, but we didn't care. She was praising the Lord, and she praised him to the end. She hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 4 or 5 days, and she was just breathing calmly, but she was rigid and not really the mama I knew. My mama was full of life and bouncing everywhere. And there's several really sweet little ladies there and some nice gentlemen, too. And, of course, when you go all the time, you get to meet them all. Well, Miss Pauline, that you all know, comes with Martha Lou. Miss Pauline Jones is just across the hall. So whenever I'm there, she comes piddle-paddling in the room, and we talk. And she loves music, and so she was in there, and we're just smiling and talking about things. Of course, Mama's not talking, but I know she could hear. And in came one other little lady, Miss Mamie, and she used to teach Latin and music, so we had a lot of things in common. And so here we had a room just chock-block full, because when you get wheelchairs in those little tiny rooms, not much room for anything else. Well, the next thing I know, we're talking about music and how much we love Jesus. And Mama starts singing at the top of her voice with energy that she couldn't possibly have had. And her little mouth was rigid. I mean, I had tried to clean her mouth out and keep it moist because it stays open there at the end. And I mean, it was like bone. It was like a little oval bone right there. Honey, it wasn't at that moment. We sang. First song she sang, "Yes, Jesus loves me," at the top of her voice. Well, everybody else joined in. People came from the hallway. I mean, we had a come to Jesus meeting right there. And there was not a tear in that room, and I can never have a tear remembering that. We sang for almost 45 minutes. And that was it. She went right on back to sleep. Everybody just sat there. Nobody wanted to break the moment. We all loved on each other. And then it was dinner time, so off everybody had to go. And 2 days later, she went home to the Lord, but she didn't have that rigid oval anymore. She had a smile. Amen. So only God can do that. And what a gift to me. I don't think that was for Mama. I think that was for me. He knew the way to reach my heart. And that is a blessing I will forever praise him for. What a faithful, gracious God we have. Turn to him with every need. He answers more than we ask for. Thank you, Brother Billy.
Amen. The Lord has sure been good to me, and part of his goodness to me is friends like Clark and Norman, all of you here, and this dear man of God, Brother Donnie Tippett. He likes to cook. He likes to work around here. He likes to do all those things. He don't like to stand up in front of people, and he'd rather be somewhere else right now, but I know this is the Holy Ghost. Brother Donnie, whatever you say is going to be just right. You come share a word of testimony as God leads you. Amen.
Well, I might as well start from the beginning. My life as I know it now started across the road 13 years ago. My wife and I were saved in the same service, and it was a blessing. But little did I know that at that time that the Lord was beginning to prepare me for what would happen later. In 2011, my wife was diagnosed with cancer. And in June of 2012, he called home. And there was several more things I had problems with, some more health issues, but I'm not here to talk about my gloom and doom. I'm here to talk about how good God is.
Amen.
And he's good. He gave me two beautiful daughters that have been such an inspiration to me, and strength that I have drawn from them is unbelievable. I didn't know such a small package could have such great strength. And it's all God. God did every bit of it. Because we can't do anything, but God can do anything.
Yes.
And he has proved it over and over. But I just wanted to let you know that people, God made promises in his word. And he's kept those promises to me. He told me he would never leave me nor forsake me. He has not. He's been with me every step that I have taken through the trials I've been going through. And there'll be more, I'm sure. But I have no doubt I can make them with him. And I'm not going to forsake him. And Brother Billy, that's about it. I just love the Lord. and thank him for saving me and my family.
Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Let redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed. I'm glad he's been good to me. You know, I was thinking back over my life, how good God's been to me all of my life. In just a few days now, I'll be 67 years old. That's not quite 93, but it's a little ways down the road. But God's been so good to me. God has showed me his protection and guarded me through all the years. As a boy growing up, my family, I was born in 1946, October the 5th, 1946. Ashton's going to get married on my birthday. And they said, is that all right? I said, that's wonderful, praise God. You won't ever forget my birthday. You can give me a gift. And so, amen. I thought that'd be good. But he's been so good to me. The house I grew up in, we moved into when I was 6 weeks old. It's a four-room house, not a four-bedroom house, but a four-room house. And since that day, since my daddy died several years ago and when my mom was still living, I did a lot of work down there on the house, kind of going back and helping her. Nothing was squared, nothing was right. And mama said, well, I don't reckon it not. Said, you and your daddy and one drunk man and a guy with one arm built it. And said, ain't it when it's like it is. But I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My mother trusted the Lord. My mama was a Christian, but my daddy was not. I was thinking back over my life. I never have heard my daddy pray. I don't even remember praying at the table and thanking God for food. I don't know it. Regina and I, in all of our adult life, and probably in most of her life, never ate a meal without asking the blessing. But I've never heard my daddy pray. I never had anybody ask the blessing. And mama was a good lady, a good Christian lady. But daddy was kind of an at-home, absent daddy. He's never been to a ball game. I played some little bit of ball and school ball, or not school ball, but church league ball, and I don't think he ever went there. I didn't have that kind of influence, but God has guarded me and protected me. I don't remember having any Christian friends. You think about that growing up, and as a boy, I didn't have any Christian friends, teenage boys, and I'm not going to say we were mean as the devil, but we were like a sick of stringers, and I mean, we had time, but God took care of me. I mean, and all the stupid things I'd done, I never got arrested, never got put in jail, might should have, but I didn't ever get arrested. I didn't get killed. That's a blessing. I was up at JR's last night. He's cut my hair, and I don't know if sometime you notice, that's not a dimple, that's a scar. One time, me and my good friend growing up, Jimmy Wheeler, were on a bicycle, no fenders on it, and I was standing up pedaling, And he was sitting on the seat behind me, and we didn't have a coaster on the bicycle. I don't know if you know people don't ride bicycle like that. Didn't have a coaster. It was a direct drive. I mean, when you quit pedaling, if you didn't get and you took your feet off, you had to put them out like this, or you'd get your ankles beat to death because it, you know, the pedal kept. But we were behind the old cemetery. It was a red clay hill. I mean, it was long. I mean, it went way down. God's been good to me. We were going somewhere between 150 and 200 miles an hour down that hill. And it got down to a little place. I mean, we were just flying. And I had my legs out like this, and the pedals were going like this. And Jimmy was behind me. And I don't know what happened. I don't know if we got some honeysuckle vines in the thing. But all of a sudden, it flipped. And he rode me the rest of the way down the hill. And I kind of came to myself, and blood was running all over me, and he was scared to death. My knees had clinged the meat off of both knees, off my elbows, and had that big cut in my head right there, and blood running everywhere. And I don't remember dying, but I'll tell you, I should have died that day. I know I had a concussion. I've had it ever since, my wife said. But God took care of me. I could have got killed right at the cemetery that day. And I was sitting here looking a while ago, and I was thinking, I don't know, boys don't do. I used to love to climb trees better than anything in the world. I told you the other week, Brother Corbett gives me green apples. And I remember with fondness climbing up my uncle's Carson across the road on dirt road we lived on, had some apple trees. And I'd climb up there, I'd sit in those trees and eat apples just like a coon, I reckon. But I it was great. But there was a pine thicket down not far from my house, and it was so thick the trees were small and they grew real tall. And me and Jimmy Wheeler used to go down there, and we'd climb those, pick out a good pine tree, and you get hold of it, and you jump out and hold on to the tree and ride that pine tree down. Most of the time, they come fairly close to the ground, but it ride down as far as it would, and then you drop off. Anybody ever done that size me? That's fun. Well, let me tell you something. Don't never climb one about the high as this building, because there were some of them down there, and it's about two rows in, and they were tall as this, and they weren't that big around. And I thought, you know, if I get on that one, I could ride. I'd come over them other trees, and I could drop out here in this plowed field. If it don't come all the way down, I'm good. Guess what? I climbed up there, and I got right at the tippy top of that thing, and I kicked out, and it went about that angle and broke half in two. And I fell about from that chandelier there all the way through them other pine trees to the ground. And far as I know, I'm not dead. I don't know how I didn't get healed that time. God has sure been good to me. I tell you, you know, his guardian, Erskine and Timmy Benson, they used to cruise somewhere between 150 and 200 miles an hour is what I understand. And Erskine's often said it's a wonder they didn't get killed. God's been so good to me. Jimmy Wheeler got me in more trouble. I remember we was talking to Mitchell last night about I love to fish. Used to love the old creeks. I don't know what's different now. I guess it's the way the thing is. But we had an old Blackwater Creek at home, and we'd go down through there, and we'd fish. And sometimes there'd be real thick patches of honeysuckles and briars. You'd have to get out and crawl under them honeysuckles because they get so thick, like a canopy. And we'd get down as boys and just crawl through them, work our way through, and fish up and down the little creek bank. And we was fishing along one day, and there was this big old log, and it had a knot in the middle of it, and grass growed up, and we was going to get on the other side. So it was the way the canopy was, you couldn't really stand up, so we had to crawl. And I crawled across that log, and with my rod and reel in my hand, got to the other side, and Jimmy was right behind me. And the other time I got my feet on the bank, I heard his splash. And I turned around and looked, and Jimmy had fell in the water. Jimmy had fell down. And I said, what in the world? He said, there's a water moccasin right in that grass hump that you just crawled over. And sure enough, I looked, and it's the biggest water moccasin you've ever seen. I don't know where that snake was at when I went by. I don't know if he's in that log. But, you know, God sure been good to me. I didn't know until I started studying theology. That's called prevenient grace. That means that God preventing things in my life. Before I ever knew him, he knew me. Before I ever cared about him, he cared about me enough to keep me alive. He guarded my life. He protected me. And then he graced my life. He's so good to me. I grew up in a church that was a good family-oriented church with my mama when she'd take me back and forth to church. We first started going, mama didn't drive, and we rode a bus to a Pentecostal church. That's why I'm like I am a little bit, as a Pentecostal holiness church. And they had a time. It was good. But I know God put some stuff in my heart. And then somebody invited us to a little church called Calvary Baptist Church. It was a mission. And somebody would come and get us and take us to church. And I had a little influence there from the Christian experience. And I remember they talked to me about joining the church and being baptized. And I met another boy there. His name was Billy White. Billy White, about my age. But in the process of time, he went to Air Force after school and so on. And he was a preacher, but Billy died several years ago now. But at any rate, he kept wanting me to join the church. Never said a thing to me about being baptized. We were just young, 10, 11, 12 years old, whatever. I don't know exactly how old. But I remember one Sunday out behind the church, he got me and he said, "You're going to join church this morning." And I said, "I don't think so." And he grabbed my arm. I've heard about that all my life, but you know what? Some Baptists really do that. And he took my arm, put his arm behind me, and twisted my arm. And he said, "You're going to join church this morning?" And I said, "Well, I reckon I will." And I kind of felt led to. And so we got in there, and the preacher preached. I don't have no idea what he said. And they started giving to him. He kept nudging me. And I just kind of moved over a little bit. And his mama was close by. And so he wouldn't do anything, but I didn't join church that morning. I sure am glad I did. I'd hated to join church and been baptized and be able to stand up here and say, "I joined church, got baptized. I think I'm going to go to heaven without knowing Jesus Christ." Because I think there's a lot of people in churches across America. Billy Graham said one time, as many as 70% of most Baptist churches probably not even saved, because it might not have been a physical arm twisted, but it could have been peer pressure. It could have been other reasons, but they walked down the aisle. God's grace has been on me the whole time. God's been dealing with me and speaking to me. And I didn't know anything at all about it. But I remember we had a revival at that little church, and Mama had gone, and we went. I don't remember what the preacher preached, but I know it was a little bit different because something in my heart began to stir a little bit. God has sure been good to me. All of my friends were lost. Billy White was a member of the church. He's the only one I knew that even said he was a Christian. I mean, and nothing was religious around my house. My mama read her Bible, and she'd read the Bible with me some, but Daddy wasn't. He'd cuss and get drunk and everything else. But God's sure good to me. And God put a Sunday school teacher in my life, Miss Christenberry. And that Sunday school teacher loved young people. Me and the boys, we'd cut up and everything. I've told her story. But I'm thinking about how good God's been to me. She could have been a Sunday school teacher that just showed up and left and didn't care about folk, but she cared about little boys. And she prayed for us, and she had a desire to see us saved. God's sure been good to me. Now, this particular Sunday, we were kicking, throwing spitballs while she was trying to teach. She broke down crying and went out in the little side room. We just sat there for a few minutes, and I don't know what it was. It had to have been God's grace, but God moved in my heart, and I got up, walked out there where Miss Christenberry was at. A few of the other little boys followed me. She's sitting there just a-crying, and she's saying this, "Oh, Lord, I'm such a failure. God, I'm such a failure." And I sat down beside her, and I put my arm up on her. I was just a little fella. And I said, "Miss Christenberry, you're not a failure." And she said, "I want you boys to know Jesus. I want you to be saved. I want you to know heaven is your home." And I said, "Miss Christenberry, you're not a failure. You're not a failure." You know what? She's been in heaven a long time now. I don't think she's still living whenever God called me to preach. I don't believe she was. But you know what? All the places I've been, all the revivals I've preached, the highway shepherd, a lot of it is due to God being good to me. Why I didn't have a family that loved the Lord so much other than my mama. Why I didn't have any friends that were Christians. God put a Sunday school teacher in my heart and my life and put me in her heart and life. There was a man there in that church named Loomis Gordon. When I was a boy, he began to take me. Where Daddy didn't take me, he got me to play in the little ball with the ball team. He'd come by and pick me up, take me to ball practice and all that. God's sure been good to me. God put people in my life. But in that revival I was telling you about, went home that night. And was in the house during the day, and I saw a car come up in the yard. It was a preacher by the name of Ted James. And the evangelist was with him. And Mama sent me out. I've told the story before. Anytime company come, Mama sent me somewhere. I don't know why that was, but she always go out in the yard and play, run, go somewhere and go hide and everything. But she sent me out in the yard. And you know what? I went out there and climbed a big old tree. We had a big old mulberry tree, and I went and climbed that tree. I sat there for a few minutes. I was a boy. But just as sure as I'm standing here, I knew they didn't come see Mama. God's sure been good to me. I mean, I didn't know, and I had never, as far as I know, read the Bible. But God's been good to me. And in a few minutes, that preacher, Ted James, and that evangelist came out. I'd already got down out of the tree by then. Mama had one of them old metal gliders. I keep looking for one. I want to find one somewhere. Old metal gliders, you know, the old metal chairs that rock. And I don't, you know, just kind of rock. And I've seen some old gliders had holes all in it and everything. It was painted green, but if you shoot it enough with a bean shooter with rocks, it makes little white spots all over it. And ours had a lot of them like that. I mean, if you're trying to shoot through that hole and you miss, it just decorates it real pretty. It was antique before it was old. But anyhow, I didn't get a whipping over that, best I can remember. But Ted James and that preacher come, and he said, "Billy, can we talk to you a minute?" I said, "Yeah." I sat on that little old glider. I don't even know how old it was. Ted James on one side, Ed Vance on the other side. And they said, "Billy, we come because we felt like God had told us to come." And I had something working in my heart. A little boy. Did you know God can deal with children? God deal with little boys? And God sent that preacher over. I assure him, God's been good to me. That preacher, that evangelist, could have said, "That little old boy over there, you know, he ain't worth nothing. They live down a little dirt road over there, and his mama don't know how to drive, and they ain't got nothing. And his daddy, they don't have work and everything else. Ain't worth nothing." But God sure been good to me. And they came over, and they I don't remember all was said, but anyhow, I do know that he shared Christ with me. I prayed and asked Christ to save me. I was baptized at the Rosemary Baptist Church. We didn't have a Baptist church. It was a little mission church. And I remember the day I was baptized, my mama went. And they went back there in the back, and the pastor talked to us, and he baptized me. And I remember coming out, you had to come out the back door and come all the way around the building. And I come around there, and it just seemed like everything was just white. I mean, everything was white when I come around that building, just a little boy. And I come around that building, and I felt so good, so clean in my heart. God's sure been good to me. I felt him so many times after that as a teenager, on up into my teen years, everything helped. But God was good to me, showed grace to me. And God brought a beautiful young lady in my life, and she was a Christian. Neither one of us didn't live like we was Christians all the time. But in God's divine providence, he put me in her family. And she had a daddy that loved God. He'd been an alcoholic, and he told me over and over again that if he'd take one drink today, he'd been sober for all those years, but Kit, her daddy, said, if I take one drink today, I'll be drunk by dark. But he said, by the grace of God, I don't take that one drink. God's been good to me. God showed me grace. And her daddy, Regina, was in the hospital, had her tonsils out of something or other. We just started seeing one another a little bit, dating a little bit in high school. And we went in there and saw her, and we walked down the hall. And her daddy talked to me about the Lord. He's the first man other than Ted James in all of my whole life, first grown man, that ever said anything to me about Jesus that wasn't a cuss word. And he talked to me about what God had done in his life. And what God did in his life, he'll do for anybody. And he wanted to know for sure, was I saved? And I said, I was. Anyhow, me and Kit had wonderful times together. God was good to me. Me and her daddy did things that me and my daddy never did do together. And we had great time. God's been good to me. God, during those early years, actually before me and Regina started dating, they did a little youth thing at church, and they asked me to speak to the young people. I was a teenager. It was youth day. And I don't remember anything about that other than it was over 50-something years ago now. But I spoke, but boy, something stirred in my heart. And then later, Regina and I got married, and God blessed our home with our first child. Her name was Christina Carroll. She was a beautiful, she's like her mama. She had beautiful auburn hair. And she's just a doll baby. And her daddy, her granddaddy told her, told somebody in the family, Regina won't ever raise that little baby. She's just too perfect. And Regina was expecting our second child, and Christy was sick. God's sure been good to me. David said it was good to me to be afflicted, because before that I went astray. But after that I didn't. I sought his word. We had got in church, and God blessed us with that little girl. She's part of the reason we probably got more faith for the church, started reading the Bible, started going to church, getting involved in everything with other young couples. But Christy got sick. She wouldn't get well. One thing after another, seemed like. I remember we were having a homecoming at the church, and Regina's daddy said, y'all need to go get that young'un some help. And we'd done been to the doctor. I was working. I'd worked second shift at a cotton mill. And by that time, I was a foreman on first shift. And Regina and my mother-in-law went to see our doctor, family doctor. And Ms. Vibert called me. Regina's mama called me. They paged me to the office, and she was weeping. And she said, Billy, you come down to the doctor's office. They think Christy's got leukemia. I don't remember all the details, but I know my heart sank. I began to pray and went down there, and Regina was all to pieces. And the doctor said, I've already made an appointment. You're going to take her right straight to Duke. Long story short is, I went out. I can't remember all the circumstances, but her mama, either we took her home, she went home. I got up with mom at the River Mill where she worked at, went and got her, took Regina and Christy home. They were getting ready, and I took mom out to her house. They were going to ride with us, I think. Regina remembers all the detail. But my daddy was dead by this time. And my daddy died. He didn't ever know Christ. Back even when I had started going before after me and Regina got married. Best I can remember, he came to church one time. I remember one time Daddy had been so abusive to Mama and other things. And I came in one time. I wasn't old. I mean, I wasn't young, but I wasn't old. I was probably a teenager. And he was going through one of his spells. And he said, "Boy, pray for me." And I said, "Daddy, you need to pray for yourself." I had so much hurt on the inside of me. And I wish I'd have prayed more for him. I wish I'd spent more time. I wish I'd have been close enough to God that I could have prayed for my own daddy. But I was just a boy. I didn't know the Lord. Hadn't nobody ever told me anything about God. That's been in a house. But Daddy had died, and he'd had some big old chicken houses. Every time I see a chicken house over here behind Mr. Thurl's, I thought about that. Been in there. T gave me some lumber one time and went in there. But I knelt in that old chicken house, and I said, "God, I know you. We were in church at that time, and God was a blessing. And I knew God's called me to preach, and strangely, I mean, I started teaching Sunday school, and then they asked me to teach the adult men. I was 18 or 19 years old, and asked me to teach the adult men. I hadn't told them I was called to preach, but I felt something in my heart. And I started teaching adult men when I was 18 or 19 years old. But I knew God's called me to preach. Then they made me Sunday school superintendent. I was just a kid. But I knew God. And I was trying to substitute everything except the perfect will of God. And I know now that it's in his timing. But when they had said Christy had leukemia, we're going to go to the doctor, Duke. I took Mama. I went out to that old chicken house. I got in. I said, "God, I know you called me to preach. And Lord, if you'll let Christy live, I'll preach the gospel." And when I stood up, it was like a cloud all around me. And I got back down, and I said, "God, I'm so sorry." I said, "You've been so good to me, and you blessed me, and God, you've been good to me. And Lord, I know you love Christy more than I do, more than Regina does. And I know you're going to do right. And God, regardless of what your will is in her life, right now I commit my life to live for you and serve you and preach the gospel." Well, long story short, I prayed. And one thing I prayed, maybe not there, but a little later, I said, "God," Regina was expecting Melissa. And I said, "Lord, if it's your will, if you're going to take Christy, I wish you'd please let the other baby be born first." And sure enough, Melissa was born on September the 24th. And then after the first of the year, God chose to take Christy home and be with him. A lot of things I go into detail, our time's already gone, but I'm just telling you, it's good. And God's been good to me. I served as one year's assistant pastor at my home church, went to Lewisburg Junior College, learned so many things. We didn't want to leave our home church. And then somehow or another, I came over and preached at Parish Memorial Baptist Church down here in Micro, outside of Micro. I knew since I walked up on the ground that God wanted me to go be a pastor. I had never been a pastor, didn't know about being a pastor, other than having served with Earl, my pastor there, for a year. But God was in it. And I'll say this. I've hauled my wife and young'uns all over the country. And where my daddy neglected his children for a completely different reason, I'm afraid over all these years, I've neglected my children in the same way, trying to help everybody else's family and children. And I'm sorry for that. But anyhow, God called me to preach, and I knew he was there. And on the way home, I remember talking to Regina. I preached there, but I'd been filling in at First Baptist Church of Littleton, North Carolina. Brother Irby Mangum was pastor there, and he had to have a kidney transplant. So I was preaching there and serving as assistant pastor my home church, and then came to Micro. And they ended up calling me. And I'm going to tell you, God sent me to that first church I went to. There were some of the most wonderful people there. We went there but a little over a year. But they were so good to me. And boy, they put up with so much out of a young preacher that didn't have the sense enough to get out of the rain. God put my heart to them. And over the years, Gay and Hilton attend here. And she was born while I was there. Matter of fact, over an old building, one Sunday, this wonderful-looking young couple came in. I'm not sure if Sarah was born at the time or not when they came. But I spoke to them like I do to you. Met some friends back here from over to Angie this morning. I spoke to them there as they came out the door. The next Sunday, they came back, and Gay came up to me. And she said, "Brother Billy, my mama said, you know me." And I said, "Really?" I said, I'm sorry, I can't." And she told me about James and her mama. And I said, "Yeah, I know them." And she said, "Well, I'm you at the hospital the day I was born." And I said, "Well, you have changed some now." Hadn't seen her in 30-something years. And she changed. She got taller. But God's sure been good to me. God's sure been good to me. From there, I left and went to Tennessee Temple, me and my wife. And Charles was born right over here in Smithfield, him and Melissa. And we stayed in a little one-bedroom apartment. We all stayed in there together, just right within sight of Tennessee Temple School. We walked back and forth. When I was working, Regina would go back and forth or whatever, those children by herself at night to church. God took care. We were always happy as dead hog in the sunshine. Didn't have nothing. I walked up and down the back alley and picked up a bottle and went and sold them so we could buy milk. Went to the rescue mission two different times and got food. But God's good to us. I've told a story, but I was sitting there one day and I had went, what little bit of money I had, bought some dried beans and some, Regina Howard had some flour and stuff, and I bought a little fatback. She fried a little fatback, made biscuits and cooked them dried beans. I had two pennies left over and I bought two pieces of bubble gum for Charles and Melissa. And we sat there and we ate them dried beans, butter beans, fatback. It was like the best thing you ever seen. And then I give those youngins two pieces of bazooka bubble gum. They was as tickled as you've ever seen. And days gone by, I've given them CD players and everything else. But they were tickled over those two pieces of bubble gum. And I sat there, me and my wife, and they youngest was running around doing something. It dawned on me. I said, "You know what?" I said, "Mama used to cook fatback and dried beans all the time. I thought she just cooked them because they were good. And when I was a boy, we were poor. And I didn't even know it. I thought Mama cooked all that because it's just good. God's been good to me." I got to hear some of the greatest preachers several years ago. I made a list of all the great preachers I've heard over the years. In fact, it got to the point I just finally stopped and I tore it up and threw it away because it got to be just a prideful thing that God's been so good to me. I failed the Lord. I failed my family sometimes. Failed churches sometimes. But, you know, that song that he just sang, boy, thank you for minding the Lord, Brother Brad. When I didn't hold his hand was still on me. He's been good to me. He could have killed me over these years when I failed him, but he's been good to me. A lot of things have happened in our life. Our boys hadn't always been perfect. The girls hadn't always been perfect, but, you know, daddies don't notice that quite as bad as they do their boys. Regina thinks I'm spoiled them. But they've been a blessing. I'm so very proud of all of our kids and my wife. I drug her all over the country, and she stayed with me. All those moves I've made, most times she didn't tell me to. After it was over with, I was making a mistake. I sometimes wish she'd have told me ahead of time. But she's been faithful to me, faithful to the Lord, and always been willing to go wherever I took her. God's been good to me. And I pastored some great churches, and God has blessed me so. And when I was down in Valdosta, Georgia, Dr. Billy Canoys pastored Church Street Baptist Church, a big church in Greensboro, and he had wanted me to come by and preach for him. That was an honor. He was just doing that for me. He didn't need me to preach for him. He had the greatest preachers in America. He was just doing that for me as a young preacher boy. Wanted me to come preach for him when I was home. Dr. Canoys had preached for me, and he was a great man of God. He preached all over his country, written several books. But I was coming home 2 weeks at Christmas, and Dr. Canoy had a heart attack, had to have heart surgery. And he found out I was coming. In fact, he recommended me to the church up at Reedsville that I was at. But he said, "Brother Bill, won't you come by and preach for me? You promised me you would." And I said, "I will." Went over and preached for him. In Sunday school class that morning, there was a Sunday school teacher, a big old man. And he said, "You know, I'm intimidated to witness to truckers." He said, "I go all over this country," and he said, "I'm a big man." He said, "But it's hard. He said, so what I do, I take Dr. Canoy's cassettes and give them to him. And he said, they ride all through the night. Then he began to talk about how trucks on the road. And I knew that because I'd been to Tennessee Temple and driving back and forth. We wouldn't leave till 2 o'clock in the morning to come home, drive all night long to get home after I got to work on Friday night. And we'd come all the way back to Rock Rapids. But God burdened my heart that day for all the truckers up and down the highway. And that was 1994. Actually, it was 1993. And I talked to Lawrence Hester then in that church. And Lawrence was real handy with woodworking. And he made us a box that would hold 36 cassette tapes. And we put it out on the highway. I-75, first box. Virginia's mama was down there then. And I went up there and put that box out there with 36 cassette tapes in it. And the farmhouse restaurant, still one right there, first one ever put out. I-75, Valdosta, Georgia. It's actually at Lake Park, Georgia. And so when we came out, there was a little ice cream stand right there, and we wanted some ice cream. When we got some ice cream, we maybe eat a little bit of ice cream. We come back to get in the car, and I said, I want to go look. I went back in there and looked one more time, and 5 cassette tapes were already gone out of that box. That was the beginning. Over the last several years, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70,000 CDs a year. I just gave a list to Mitchell Sivia of phone calls I had just over a few days that we were gone with our preacher friends. And it's a fellow in Missouri. I don't think I wrote his name down, but I talked to another driver in South Dakota. I talked to a lady in Newport, North Carolina. She's blind, and she wants some more CDs. And then there's a guy in Odom, Georgia, that I talked to. Every week I talk to truckers all over this country, all hours of the day and night sometimes. God's sure been good to me. I mean, for somebody who came from a cotton mill town, God's been good to me. 1994, Regina and I went to Germany, and we had friends over there working at a Christian school. Met some wonderful friends. I preached in churches in Ansbach and at Rhineland Baptist Church and near Frankfurt and different other places around in Germany, military churches. And our good friends were taking us up the Rhine River. We went to a castle. It's sitting on a hill. You had to park and walk a long ways up. And it was sitting on a cliff, hanging out over that cliff. The Rhineland River's under it. It's a castle. But they had in it, they'd converted, had part of it as a restaurant. And there was a Russian waitress that we had. And I didn't know how to order. Regina, I didn't know how to order. I mean, but our good friends ordered for us. They brought that meal out there. I mean, it was everybody. I mean, it was just 4 or 5 different plates, it seemed like, and silverware everywhere. I got up and took a picture of it. I just took a picture of the whole table. And I sat back down. My heart got overwhelmed. And John said, you all right? I said, boy, I'm better than all right. I said, God. I said, I was raised in a 4-room house with a toilet. I mean, until I was on up, and they didn't have a bathroom in the house. I mean, there was a teenage boy even. He was on up a good long time before we ever had a bathroom in the house. Sponge bath, bathing, foot tubs, and all I can. And I said, here I am. God's called me to preach, got me into ministry. And I'm sitting in a castle that was built in the year 900, being waited on by a Russian waitress. And I said, look at all this. I said, that's nothing in the world but the grace of God. I said, but you know what? This is just part of the way. We're way up on top of this mountain overlooking the Rhineland River. I said, but this is just part of the way to the mansion on the other side. God's sure been good to me. God has redeemed my life. God saved me. A lot of good things have happened. A lot of things say bad things happen. We wept over our daughter that died. God gave us grace. We've wept over our children when they've made mistakes. And sometimes some of those things hurt as bad as Christy going to heaven early. But God's been good to me. Last year, I had an episode in my life. I've always, and I know in the hospital, I've always been proud of it. Brother Ray Lee, he's never been sick much. And I've never been sick much. God's been good to me. And something happened in my life I had absolutely no control over. I could not walk. I got to where I couldn't walk. I couldn't feed myself. I couldn't do nothing. I had absolutely the worst pain I've ever had in my life. I thought at any minute, I'm talking about 3 or 4 days, at any minute I thought my heart would absolutely burst. There was no rest day nor night. I've never had pain like that in my life. And I know when Brother Burke was in the hospital, he witnessed everybody and led everybody to the Lord. The whole time, I felt like I was the worst witness in the world. I wasn't afraid, though. I was just there. It's just kind of like I was watching the whole thing going on. But God was good to me. It wasn't until after I got through about the first 5 or 6 days that the doctor came in that I even knew what was going on. And I asked Regina, I said, they ever talk to you? And she said, no, not a lot of detail. But that doctor talked to me, and he said, Mr. Cashwell, I think I got you through the life-threatening stage. He said, first 2 or 3 days, I thought, sure, I'd lose you. He said, boy, we done everything we could. And he said, it just went all over your body just that quick. And he said, I didn't think. He said, but everything's worked out. He said, I ain't making no guarantee, but he said, I think I'm going to get you through it. He said, you probably won't never get over it. You won't be able to do like you've been doing. And he said, you got a long, long ways to go, but I think I got you through the life-threatening stage. He walked out. You know what went through my mind? I said, God, you have sure been good to me. I come out of the hospital, went through all the treatments, didn't know what I was going to do about all the bills, you and other people, and God's people. I meet people up in Benson. I met people in West Virginia. Other places walk up to me and say, you're the highway shepherd. They recognize my voice. I said, yeah. They said, we heard you were sick last year. We want you to know we prayed for you and our church prayed for you. I never met them. They didn't know how they knew that, I don't know. Some of them said the truckers called from across the country. God sure been good to me. He put people in my life and gracious to me, and he's blessed me. He's been good to me. You know what? My mama lived to be 83 years old. I'd like to live to be as old as Miss Ennis and then some. I'd be like to be able to sing like that. Virginia said I'd have to get better to be able to sing like Miss Corrine did a while ago. Am I singing? I don't know how long I'm going to serve God. I mean, I don't know how long I'm going to live, but I don't want to serve him as long as I live. I'm going to be faithful to him. All the things that what people call bad, all of my failures, everything, God has still been good to me. It's a good thing. God's been good to me. Psalm 145 says this, the Lord has been good to all. He's been good to you. Been good to you. I'll tell you this. The Word of God says this, he is no respecter of persons. I love that old song that Stuart Hamblin wrote. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. For everybody in this building, this morning my neighbor that I've been praying for a long time before his grandson died, I saw his truck over in his son's yard in the driveway down near the road. As we were coming out this morning, Regina was going to drive and the other vehicle, and I was going to drive the car. And as I came out, she was getting ready to leave, and she said, Larry hollered and said he wants to talk to you. And he came over, and he said, I want you to pray for me and have the church to pray for our family this morning. He said, this is the hardest thing I've ever been through, and I know what you know what we're going through. And I said, I do. I said, Larry, I said, I wouldn't go over at church this morning. I wouldn't even bother to go over there if I didn't believe your grandson was in heaven right now. He said, my wife, Jenny, has seen him, had a dream, and saw him running. He was not able to do that, wasn't able to walk hardly, 4 years old. But she's seen him this morning. I said, I know that. I said, I saw my little girl. People don't believe it, and they can say what they want to. But God let me see her in heaven. I know she's there. I said, but I wouldn't go to that church this morning if I didn't know she was there. And the best thing about it is if I didn't know that I'm going to get to see her again. Don't you pray for my neighbor. God's been good to me. He's guarded me. He's guided me. He's given his grace. But he's guaranteed me some things too. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself. That where I am there, you may be also. That's his promise. I wasn't in the picture anywhere in that promise. It was him. It's all about him. He's got a place prepared for me. He's got a place prepared for you. And he guaranteed it with his own blood. Purchased it with his own blood. And heaven is home for those who've been redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. God has sure been good to me. I hope you'd experience his goodness, his grace, and recognize it. And I want you to know that you're saved. Will you bow with me for prayer this morning? God, I just want you to know this morning, God's sure been good to me. I wish I was a better husband. Wish I had a better daddy. Wish I was a better preacher, better pastor than I want to be. But you know what? In spite of all of my failures, in spite of my shortcomings or whatever, God has sure been good to me. And while I didn't always hold his hand, he's always held me in his hand. I've been sure of that. I know it. Do you know that? Do you know that you're saved? If you don't, I tell you right now, God won't save you this morning. I have over my life sometimes had what everybody else has, pity parties. I'm sorry for those times. But you may have come in here this morning feeling like you've got a raw deal. Family's turned against you. Husband, wife turned against you. Seemed like everything's gone haywire. I believe it'd do us good this morning in our own heart and spirit to recognize the Lord has sure been good to me. I don't know why everything happened like it has. I could go back through, Brother Donnie said, and tell you a lot of sad stories, a lot of failures. But I'm telling you, overriding every bit of it, God's sure been good to me. Might be good for us this morning, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It might be good for you just to worship him and magnify him. I don't know what God wants you to do. I don't know what God's laid on Brad's heart to sing. But I want you, for just a moment, to stand with me for prayer. And we're going to pray. Brad's going to sing. And if God, in any way and all, if he's dealt with your heart like he has in mine over the years, maybe he spoke to you some way this morning. Maybe you recognize his goodness and you want to make some sort of commitment to him, or you want to just come and worship him. I don't know what it is. And that's between you and God. I believe he's a big enough God to do what needs to be done. If I can help you, I'll help you. If I can pray with you, I'll pray with you. There's other folk here doing the same. But I want you just to obey him this morning. God has sure been good to me. Sure been good to me. Heavenly Father, I ask now, God, the Holy Ghost of God, work in hearts and life. Do exactly what needs to be done. Thank you for your goodness.